Well, again, it's so very, very good to be here. As I think you all know, most all of you would know that my wife went to be with the Lord December the 9th, 2023. So it's been right at 15 months. I'm not where I was at the beginning, I must say that, but I'm not, I don't think, totally where I'm going to be. Not that normal ever was a goal that I had to be normal. But it could happen, right? It could happen. But it's been an interesting, I paid attention to the whole process here. And I don't know what kind of pain of loss that any of you have had. It doesn't take a death, but let's just deal with that for a moment, since that's the worst affliction I have ever experienced. And you, at the beginning, and I mentioned this, by the way, this is my third time, so I came here January 14th, just 3 weeks after Connie passed, because I was talking to Pat, and he says, just come over and let's love on you, so I did. We just sat around. We talked about stuff, football. We talked about Connie. We talked about ministry. We talked about a lot of things. Watched a little bit of TV. We ate. When you go through a loss, you need comfort, right? And that's, it's called comfort food. That's, you go for that. And so anyway, it was a great, great week that I spent. And then I came again in October. And now, so I don't remember where I was with you in this process, but I know that many of you, and I've had discussions already this morning with a handful, but I know you've been with me in that. And I really appreciate that. I truly do. Connie and I were married for 55 and a half years. I met her when she was 17. I would have married her the next day, but there were complications. Finally got permission from everybody, but anyway, we had a couple of years, so we got married when she was 19, I was 20. So there's a lot of stuff. And as you know, having met her, you know what a tremendous woman that she was. And we just did a lot of stuff together, everything. And we pastored three international churches together. As well as here in the States. We taught in Bible college, directed institutes. I directed one, she directed another. And so we've been in ministry as well. So everything was connected to her. And so I was sitting there one night, it's like, I just thought, well, where do I fit? Because even the stuff I did without Connie, like she only went to Indonesia once, I've been there 28 times. But it's still, she said, look, she packed me. And oh God, I missed that. And she says, I'll be here when you get back. And she was. And so it's like even the trip away was connected to her. So losing that connection is like, well, now what do I do? Where do I fit? And to find that fit has been a journey. And I'm beginning to find that fit. And you all are a part of that. So whether you know it or not, I appreciate that. So thanks. So here we are. So early on, a couple of things happen. That scripture, the idea, the truth, the words are say, absent from the body and then what? Present with the Lord, right? So initially all I could focus on was absent from the body. That was just 100%. Not even 1%. Not even 1% with the Lord. I knew that, but it didn't matter. She's not here. And I was consumed by that, and it was overwhelming. And I just told the Lord, I'm just empty. I don't have anything. And I just don't want to do anything. And I love people, but not right now. I don't want to see anybody. I'm just, I'm not going to get out of this recliner until you tell me what to do. Well, it's just poetic. I was going to get up. But basically, I'm just like, I have no purpose. I am empty of anything. I have no will. I certainly don't understand. I don't like this. I don't accept this. But I have nothing. And then the truth kind of settled. Yeah, but I have trust. I have trust. And for the first time, I've been a believer since I was 6 years old. So we're talking 70 years. Truthfully, I came to Christ in the church in Denver, Colorado when I was sitting between my grandparents and I was 6 years old. So 70 years, I've believed in the Lord. And I've been through a few things. I've had other afflictions, trials, persecutions, and And believe it or not, there's a couple folks out there that don't really like me. Hard to believe, right? And in any event, you know, I'm like, you know, all this stuff, just living life. And there's things that come to you because we live in a fallen world. And I'm part of that. You know, I've hurt myself at times. But in any event, I was thinking, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then slowly that began to be something I could live with. Okay, then I could, at 2%, 98%, Connie's not here, 2% with the Lord. And slowly, it's not 50-50 yet, but it's pretty much. I mean, it's enough to where I have this balance, and I carry the pain and the sorrow, but it's not like it was. And in terms of memories, at the beginning, you know, it's like everything from sitting there in the recliners and holding hands, having dinner, watching TV, or just whatever we were doing, that was just, you know, that memory would drive me under initially. And then slowly it's like the memory would come, oh yeah, that was good. I'm glad we did that together. And so the memories began to be good things. Yes. And slowly that began to happen. And so I'm kind of there. And I have to process that every time I go anywhere where I was always with her, like here, you know, to walk in without her is, you know, initially it was hard the first time, except you guys all made it easy. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, it just took a while to where those memories began really to be a positive thing. But I was it was after I was here on January, sometime after that, not too long after that, but sometime after that, I was just feeling okay. I thought, what's the matter with me? I feel okay. This is wrong. I began to feel guilty. It's like, you know, no, I can't forget her. I don't know. And God spoke to me. And when I say God spoke to me, you know, we're all Pentecostal here, right? Amen? Hallelujah. So, and I don't know if it was if I heard his voice or just it was, you know, the words came to my heart and mind. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same thing, really. So I'm just going to say God spoke to me. And then you sort it out. On one of the occasions, I think I did hear an audible voice, but I'm not arguing for that. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I had this, when I'm just, you know, feeling like I was feeling, and wow, I'm feeling okay. And the Lord said, well, I said, Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord says, well, what did you expect my comfort to feel like? I said, you're comforting me? See, I'm comforting you. Wow, well, you know, bring it on. You know, I don't know how much I can handle at a time, but try me, you know, and if I burn up, okay. But it's like, wow, it's amazing. And so I began to feel his comfort, and I couldn't totally try to figure out what that meant, but I did know that part of the comfort was absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that second part began to be a comfort. And so I began to think about life before death and then life after death. And how death impacts both those. The fact that we're going to die ought to impact how we live. Yes. And then the fact that what's happening in the future ought to impact how we live as well, right? Jesus is coming again, right? And that's good news. And for me, there's better news, that when he returns, he's bringing Connie with him. That's what the Bible says. So life after death is the Lord's going to return. He's going to bring those who have died before he returns with him. We're going to meet them, plural, them, the Lord and those who have died before us in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord. So there's going to be a reunion, and it's going to involve people that have gone before. And not just Connie, of course, although I'd be happy if that was only her, but I mean, I think there's going to be millions more, and right, you know, in Christ, they're worthy to be there. So in any event, that began to impact me more, and I began to do a study on death. And my friend said, death, really? You're going to, yeah, I'm into death. I'm not looking at philosophy or I want to look to the New Testament. And there'll be connections, of course, to the Old Covenant as well, the Old Testament. But basically, I'm going to start in the New Testament. And so you start in the Gospels, and who do you start with in terms of death? Well, let's start with Jesus. Of course, there's Lazarus and all that, but there's, and he died, buried, and rose again. So if you're going to talk about death and you start in the Gospels, it's death and resurrection. Amen. And then you keep going. And every reference in the New Testament, every meaningful reference, I mean, reference about our death and all of that, there's maybe a couple of references. This is not the case. It just talks about dying. But basically, all the references, virtually all, have death and resurrection, death and eternal life, death and victory. And this is one of my favorites. It occurs twice in Paul's letters to the Corinthians. There's death is swallowed up in life. One victory, one life. Death is swallowed up by life, by victory. And then there's the passage in 1 Corinthians 15 where he says that, you know, that death is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. So when you read there about, in 1 Corinthians 15 about death, it's going to be destroyed. And then there's death and laying down the body, and then there's picking up the immortal body, our spiritual body. So it's like, there's like, we can't lose in any of this. And so you begin to think about, I begin to think about that, and all the references that matter about death include resurrection, life, eternal, and all of that. That's kind of encouraging. So it wasn't like I was looking to be depressed, because I figured there had to be, you know, a good thing here. In fact, Jesus once said that those who believed and followed him would not die. They would, and he said they were going to live forever because they are children of the resurrection. Yes. Children of the resurrection. That's a powerful phrase. So we are destined for resurrection. And so I don't, and by the way, I don't have a death wish. I don't want to die. But I know when I do, it's resurrection. There's this life after death that awaits me. And so then you figure out, okay, this is why Paul says in Philippians, where he says, you know, I'm just pressing toward the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've attained that already, but here's what I do. I give myself, I pursue, I work diligently to, how does he word that? I go after the high calling of God, the upward call of God in Christ. And so ultimately he winds up there. So he lives his life knowing that as he pursues that, he's going to die, no death wish, but he knows that I'm pursuing that because what I'm really pursuing is resurrection. And that's toward the upward call of God in Christ. And so there's this upward call that becomes a part of this whole nexus of death and resurrection. So that's kind of where I've been hanging out. And I'm doing a series on that. I've got like two videos out on YouTube, and I've got three more I'm planning. And I meet with a small group of a chaplain and his wife. He prayed for me when I had my pacemaker put in, in April. That was, yeah, right. Thank God it's still working. and then this pastor, friend of ours, named Michelle. So with the four of us are in this Bible study. We meet two Sunday nights a month when I'm in town, and we went through the book of Galatians, and we're talking about other things. And I said, well, let's do a series on death. So we've been doing death, like we've had four or five of these Bible studies on death. And you just can't talk about death without talking about resurrection and a lot of good things. So that's kind of where I've been hanging out. But because of that word about comfort, I just started looking at that a little bit. And I have this passage I want to read. And then Cammie's got two other passages, one Old Testament, one New Testament, that give the bigger background to the idea that God gives comfort. Has anybody here ever needed the comfort that God can give you? That's right. Yeah? Honestly. And so it's not like we're a bunch of wimps. It's just because we're human beings and stuff happens. We live in a fallen world. If you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at Adam and Eve, right? They blew it. We had a pretty good thing going on in creation. And they were the first ones. So right from the get-go, you know, it's like, oh, well. But honestly, you know, the comfort is something that God gives, and I think, let me just read this passage and show you how I think it's a lot bigger than just, although significant that it is, that he comforts any of us in any affliction. It's a bigger thing than that. So the passage I want to read, it's not on your screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So there's two agencies here that give comfort to us. There's God, and then there's one another. So we participate in the good things that God wants to do, and it can be a word, it can be a hug. I probably need about 8 or 9 more hugs today, and that'll really be a lot of very comforting to me. So, you know, seriously, it can be just a word. It can be a lot of things. It can be a good deed. It can be just sitting there, presence, works for comforting. And any of you who've had loss like I've had, you know, the worst thing is to be alone. You know, and I'm not looking for a replacement. I want Connie, you know, but that is, being alone is hard, right? And so, you know, you presence, sometimes somebody just sitting there is all the comfort that I need. Now, of course, I do want to hear the word as well, but you know what I'm saying? So comfort then is something that we join with the Lord in providing one another. Now listen, I want to read this without the middle part there, where he says, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And see if you don't think this is enough. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's enough, isn't it? That's a great statement. But he puts this in here, this describes God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Why does he do that superlative statement? And it's because that's his nature, and it has to do with God's approach to the world that he created that has fallen. It has to do with his love. And so, you know, I've even gone back to John 3:16, right? And I can quote that in 3 or 4 languages, but it's like, for God so loved the world. And we, you know, you've quoted that. I learned that in Sunday school. I had a Sunday school teacher named Mrs. Good, and we wouldn't get a treat if we didn't memorize scripture like for John 3:16. I don't know what that was worth, but it was candy, whatever it was. But I'm saying, for God so loved the world. And when you think about that, that means something, that there's a lot of emotion there. There's a lot of reality there, and it's not just a statement. And the problem that I have, having been a believer for 70 years, growing up in the church, my dad was a pastor, I'm a pastor, and it's like, you know, you can just, I know a lot of scripture. I did Bible quizzing in high school. I memorized probably 400 or 500 scriptures as a part of that process over 2 or 3 years. You know, so I know a lot of scripture, I know the words, but one of the cries I've had for a long time is, God, I don't want to be nominal in my faith. I don't want to be a nominal Christian. I don't want to be a nominal pastor. I want to be a true follower of Christ, and where your words matter and it means something about your nature. For God so loved the world. I mean, he does, right? He just does. He loves us, and that's his motivation. That's why Jesus came the first time, and has a lot to do with what he's doing now and a lot to do with the second coming, because that love's going to play out in a way we can't even imagine, where we live forever in his presence. And so the Father of mercies, you know, and so you start thinking about, well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, what about his mercies? They run out on the night before? No, his mercies are new every morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So his mercy has my back. It's with me. I mean, it's like I can't go anywhere. And so I think we experience more of the mercy of God than we realize, because we're connected to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his mercy, and I'm probably going to be in eternity, but where he's going to say, well, I just want to show you what was really going on when you made it, and we're all proud of yourself. And you're going to find this big hunk of mercy just enveloping you, you know. our success, our life, our we live in the context of God's mercy. Amen? We just do. Paul talks about in Romans 5 where we stand in grace. So we're at the place of grace, and that's related to this whole idea of the mercy of him. So he's the Father of mercies. This is what he's about. And he's the God of all comfort. All comfort. You know the old saying, all means all. So there's no comfort left over. You know, that's the comfort that we need. The comfort that we need because of sin in the world, because of our own failings, because of all the stuff that happens to us. Anybody ever get fired from a job? Yeah? Yeah, me too. Not my favorite thing. The loss of my loved one. How about somebody opposing you? I was pastoring a church. It was going really great in Ankara, Turkey. And there were like three or four rogue elders that made life miserable. And I tried my best to work that out. And when they kind of went after, one of the wives went after my wife, I said, what am I going to do, Lord? He goes, you know, no longer strive with these men. So I got out of Dodge. We just left. I'll go to nothing before I'm going to put up with this. Because it was very negative and nothing was better, right? It was a positive move. So we have these experiences, broken relationships. I know people that haven't talked to their children in years, or their parents, or their siblings. And there's reasons for that. There's a lot of hurt and pain. And I've learned now, I live in Sun City, Arizona. And one of my daughters says, Daddy, you live in Sun City where the old people live. How perfect for you. Well, and I'm basically in the young marriage group there at 76. I'm serious. We people are up in their 80s, 90s. We just lost our 100-year-old, but that's okay. She's with the Lord. But so it's like, and I want to tell you, those people have stories. I mean, not good stories. I mean, have a lot of good stories. But you talk with an 85-year-old person who was abused as a child, and that's still there. It comes up. And there's things that make that come to the surface. They lived a productive life, had families and had jobs and did all that. But there's that. And then there's those who did those things. And there's a certain amount of guilt over that. And so we've talked about the small Bible study group I have. We've talked about starting what we call Sun City International Fellowship. International because I've been international. And the guy he's a Air Force helicopter pilot, retired, was in Germany for 3 or 4 years. So we got to have the international in there. Plus, we're for Sun City, but we're for the world. So Sun City International Fellowship. we haven't formed that, but I mean, there are people who really need what a fellowship of believers can do in delivering the comfort of God. And a place where, you know, it's not about, you know, like getting around like group or whatever. It's just in the context of worship, times like these. There's an opportunity for us to be a comfort, for the Lord to speak, and for people to be comforted. So, Sun City International Fellowship, I'd like to say we're up and going, but we're not. And we don't know what's going to happen, if that's ever going to happen. But in any event, we do know that there are people who need the comfort of the Lord. And the comfort that his presence brings, the comfort that his truth brings, and the comfort that his people can bring. And people need that, amen? Don't we need that? I mean, has anybody ever lost a job and you, like I said, and I know that 3 or 4 you raised your hands, it's like, you need comfort, don't you? And there's things that happen, people come into your life, you got into whatever, you know, these are all a part of the Father of mercies, being merciful to you, because that's what he's like, and he understands, he sees you, he knows where you are and what you're experiencing. Now, I want to just address this larger picture further. So we have here, it's enough. That he comforts us in our affliction, but that he's a Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, that to me raises the whole thing to a kind of universal level. You know, that's huge. That's far more than he needs to take care of my affliction, you know. So passage, first of all, we want to read out of Isaiah. I have it here somewhere. Pat printed it out for me. So Is it there? Nope. Crosses are good. We'll start there. He was on the middle one. Have you ever heard of, Alistair Begg? Alistair, what's his last name? Begg?
Alistair
Begg. Yeah. He's a sermon that he has where he's speaking at some conference, and he talks about a guy who arrives at heaven, and the angel says, well, what makes you think you can, why are you here? He goes, well, I mean, he just gave him a little test. So what do you know about justification by faith? He said, I never heard of it. Well, you got to be you're justified by faith. You can't get into heaven if you're not believing and justified. Well, I never heard of it. So when I got a couple of there, he said, well, I'll get my supervisor. So Begg says it's better than I am, but so he gets a supervisor and says, so why do you think you can enter if you don't know these things? He said, well, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And, so what does it take to get saved? That's on the cross. I think of that every time now I see a cross. The man on the middle cross said I could come. That's enough, isn't it? I like that. So here we have this passage in Isaiah. And here's where the comfort of God goes to his work on earth in choosing a people and then that people to be his representatives to the world, and ultimately comes down through their failure, really comes down to one, the Messiah, who will bring comfort. And it's no mistake that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as another comforter. Who's the first kind? He is. So Christ is the comforter. And you get over there in Isaiah chapter 9, it said his name, this one that comes, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Or you could just, in the Hebrew, it could be just translated as a sentence, the first part, Wonderful in Counsel. Wonderful in Consoling, Wonderful in Comfort. Is this one who is the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And doesn't that cover a lot? What's the wonderful counsel that Jesus can give? Well, he's got the power I need, right? There's this everlasting part, and there's peace with God. I'm no longer at war with him. So that's who he is. And so here in Isaiah 40, comfort, yes, comfort. I learned in the King James, and that's where in the Handel's Messiah, comfort ye, my people. We could sing, some of us could sing that, couldn't we? Don't tempt me. No. What? No one, I got no request on that either. So, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Now, look, this is to Israel as a nation, but it's to the world that got settled when the angels announced at the birth of Christ, peace on earth. This is what we're talking about here. Her warfare has ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then what is this comfort? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Here's the comfort. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There you have it. Now, so I think we can place the comfort that God gives to us in any of our afflictions in this context. This is God doing what he said he would do. And I really, that part, the crooked places shall be made straight. I got to tell you, in the early days, I was, pardon the expression, but I was like a drunk man walking down a hallway. I was hitting both sides, I was all over the place. Roller coaster, maybe it's a better image. I was just all over the place. And the crooked places shall be made straight. And that's a part of what's going on right now is God is straightening me out. And this is where all this fits in what God came to do through Jesus Christ. Then in Luke chapter 2, there were two people that were in the temple, and they were had significant things to say about Jesus to Joseph and Mary when they brought him there for dedication. And I'm just focusing on Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Some of your translations will say, waiting for the comforter. The comfort, I mean, of Israel. Same word. There are actually three Greek words that are used in the Gospels and in Paul. And there may be more. But I know there's three that are used for comfort or consolation or encouragement. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, I think it is, where the person who prophesies speaks to others in edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is building up, but exhortation and comfort would be the two of those other words for comfort or consolation. So there's that idea and comfort of encouragement and comfort and consolation. And it has to do with the establishing in our hearts of the hope that we have in Christ. And so whatever affliction I'm in, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love me, doesn't mean that it's over, doesn't mean that I'm stupid or I deserve it. It just, you know, in the context of the comfort, he's just, you got a future. There's a purpose, there's hope. And isn't that what we need when we've gone through something really terrible? You know, hope. And that is a restoration of hope that happens in all this. That's what the comfort, I think, is about. So he says, okay, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, verse 26, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for be the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. So that's what's going on. And the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, has to do with Jesus' arrival, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's anointed to do that. And then the Holy Spirit just says later is another comforter. So I think the comfort that we receive is a part of this huge thing of who God is. And that's his nature toward fallen humanity. It's how he demonstrates his love. And so, brother and sister, it really does not matter what any of us have experienced. I mean, it matters, but you know what I'm saying. The mercy of God is there. He's the Father. He's the Father of mercies. Can you think of a sin he can't forgive? Can you think of a problem he can't solve? Can you think of, he's good at comforting and this, and this. Yeah, no way, I'm going to get comfort for this. Yeah, you will. You are, right? So it's all comfort, all affliction. And notice that he says here in the passage I started out with out of 2 Corinthians that we comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have received. So the comfort that we can give one another, you don't have to have had your wife die to give comfort to me. You don't have to have lost a job to comfort somebody. You don't have to be estranged from anybody in your family in order to comfort those who are, right? So it's any affliction that we experience. And so we don't have to say, well, you don't understand. No, I don't, but I can I can give comfort. I don't have to parallel everybody, right? It's not like we're just doing this parallel thing, right? So this morning, I don't know where you all are at in this regard. I'm going to just take a spiritual educated guess that there's at least two or three of us in this number that are having a particular specific affliction that is painful and causes sorrow and maybe confusion and maybe the desire to give up or depression or whatever, right? But I'm just going to suggest I think that's the case. So why don't we just take a wild chance that we're going to speak a word of comfort to somebody who really needs it. And by the way, I, you know, you, in that group that I'm talking about, the two pastors and the pastor's wife, the chaplain and his wife, and Pastor Michelle, you know, you saw these are very whole people, and you would like them, and they minister, and we have it's a strong group. But I know their afflictions. I know the past afflictions that they've had as a child or whatever. I know them. I know the current affliction that Rebecca has of muscular dystrophy, and how that 6 years ago she was a choral teacher in a high school and led the worship in her church and plays the piano, got a beautiful voice, writes music, had to resign all of that. They moved to Arizona to be around because of the doctors and the heat was better than Virginia in terms of her condition. And I've been with her when we went to this our favorite Mediterranean restaurant. I love Middle East food. Okay, all right, I love all food. But anyway, and Matt is parking the van. She has a special van because she has usually has a wheelchair in there, but this couple times she hasn't had her wheelchair. And so Matt lets Rebecca and I out at the door, and Rebecca takes my arm so I can walk her in the restaurant. It's like I know her affliction, and I can assure you, if she were here, she'd tell you, oh, God gives me comfort. How does he do that? He speaks to her. She's writing poetry. She's got a blog. She's got, and Matt just adores her, and he takes care of her. There's just a lot of, and she's a strong person, and you'd meet her, you'd never, but there's this affliction, right? And so there's comfort for that. So I don't know if you have a debilitating disease like that, but there's comfort. Amen. So I'm going to just suggest that, and then there's, of course, there's chronic things that happen. And I was talking to somebody before the service about, yeah, my knees hurt, and I have scoliosis, my back hurts. And the good news is it's kind of, I can't stand over the sink and do dishes for very long without my back hurting, so I just don't do them. It's positive, right? You got to look at it that way. But honestly, there are things that are chronic. It could be anything. And sometimes we can be experiencing things that are a result of something that happened before that we did to ourselves or others did, and we're still, it's a residual thing, kind of chronic, and you wonder, like, is this always going to be true about me? And if it is there comfort there? Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I just think, have I covered about everything that can go wrong? Pretty much. All right. So before we leave today, let's allow the Lord to have us be a comfort to someone in their affliction. And I would it might surprise some how open others will share if you care just a little bit. Just a little bit of compassion and interest. You know the old thing where you go out and you go, so how you doing? Everything's fine. So I've gotten to where, like, I don't believe that. Something might not be fine. Let's talk about that, So there's an entrance that God can give us into one another's lives for his good, their good. Amen?